The following is a presentation of Labor Radio, the voice of workers' world today in diversity, inclusion, and equality. This weekly program, with various labor leaders and experts, tackles today's topics and highlights the issues and concerns of workers, blue and white collar, discusses the labor way, and how diversity without inclusion is inequality. For more information, visit www.laborradio.nyc. That's www.laborradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very special guest, Ms. Laura Morand, who is the president of DC37 Local 2627. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. So the coronavirus has a disproportionate impact on minority populations because of the underlying medical conditions that have historically plagued these communities. For years, we have known about these underlying conditions that the minority communities suffer from, which leads to shorter life expectancy gaps. Conditions such as diabetes, heart disease, upper respiratory illnesses, and hypertension, to name a few. Now the virus is attacking those underlying conditions with a vengeance. Can you give us a brief statement on how lack of solutions for these communities has had a disproportionate impact, how employers fail to protect employees of these communities who make up the majority of essential workers, as well as talk about your union membership and what's been happening?
Gladly. Oh, man, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
It definitely has impacted my membership. I myself came down with it and had pneumonia, and I was out of commission for like a month. I mean, I still worked a little bit, but I was really out of it for a month. And I myself had a very bad experience in that I was not treated like other people are treated. And mm-hmm. I think that happens more often than not with our community. With our people, in that we don't get the same treatment as those who are not black. And my membership is a large amount of minorities, from a large amount of Asians, as mm-hmm. well as we have a good percentage of African Americans and other nationalities as well. So right now, a lot of my members are working from home, a great part, about 80 to 90% of them. But we do have a bunch of technicians who have to go out because they deal with hardware. So they have to go out and deal with the hardware, and they have to put themselves in jeopardy in order to make sure that those who are working from home can still work. And it puts them at risk, because at first there was no PPE, no personal gear for them, no masks, no gloves. Slowly but surely, the masks and gloves have been coming in. The agencies have been able to get their hands on it, so to get it to our members. But it was a fight at first. It was a big fight because they still wanted them to go out there and to do the work and right. put themselves at risk, and that was a problem. And we was, you know, on the verge of get ready to file lawsuits because of this. Mm-hmm. Now, we do understand that PPE was very hard to get and still sometimes very difficult to get, but then you got to do something to help our members be able to do their job, so that they can make sure that the great masses can do their jobs, because without my members, nobody works. Mm-hmm. Because without computers these days, nothing works.
That's true.
Now, like for myself, because I'm around at different sites, I was at more risk of getting it, and I did get it because I'm all at different agencies, meeting with different people all
you
around
are
the city
there.
On the sub. Yes. So, yes, it put me at greater risk, and I did get it. Thank God I got through it.
Yes, thank God.
But I got rushed to the emergency room in Long Island Jewish Valley Stream, which used to be Franklin Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And this was on March 25th. And I was having a hard time breathing. I had a fever of 101. My primary care, who did telemed, already put me on Zithromax because, you know, I had exhibited symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get to the hospital, the doctor listened to me, my chest, and said, "Oh, well, we can't test you right now. We don't have they don't have the ability to test me." And he gave me two Tylenol and an asthma pump and sent me home.
Wow.
And what ended up happening, I called my executive director, Henry Garrido, as soon as I got home, and then let him know that I still felt horrible. And he said, do you want to be tested now? I said, yes. So he told me to go see this Dr. Holness. And I believe he was Jamaican. At Queens General Hospital, which I had my daughter drive me right there and mm-hmm. then. And Dr. Holness admitted me, took me and ordered a chest x-ray, had the COVID test performed on me. He was changing shifts, so his a colleague of his, a Nigerian doctor, I don't remember his name, went on and said, he told me, now mind you, this is maybe 2-3 hours after I was at the first hospital, he told me I had pneumonia.
Wow.
And I'm like, how is it I go to one hospital, they don't do no test on me, and I go to another hospital, and 2 hours later I'm being diagnosed with pneumonia mm-hmm. and being admitted into the hospital. And I'm like, this is just so disparaging, because I know this is happening to a lot of black people.
It is.
That we're not being taken serious when we said that we're not well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're black and you say that you're not well, they don't do all the battery of tests on you like they would do on somebody who's not black.
That is true.
Kamala Harris said it best, that when I was watching The View a couple of weeks ago, she was mm-hmm. on there, and she said that black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in childbirth.
Yes.
Because when we say something's not right, mm-hmm. they don't believe us.
Look, even when we have money, you see what happened with Serena Williams? She almost died. And Serena Williams is well known and wealthy. They just don't listen to us.
Exactly. And we're dying because of that. You hear in Michigan, black people are 14% of the population, but they were like 70% of the people dying from mm-hmm. this disease. This is just an injustice. And because, yes, we have black doctors, more black doctors than ever. And it was black doctors who admitted me. But guess what? The next day when I was up in the wards, it wasn't a black doctor that said, oh, well, you know, you'll do better at home, and sent me home with a fever mm-hmm. of 103. Oh, they gave me Tylenol and told me to continue the medication that the black doctors ordered, which did eventually help me. But right. it's just that we're not taken serious and we're dying because
yes,
of
thank
it.
God you had somebody that you could have called that could have assisted you. Not everybody is in that position.
Exactly. If it wasn't for Henry Garrido, I believe with all of my heart, I'd be dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody has a contact like that can help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of black people are dying and suffering.
All right, so,
and I'm sorry to make this about that, but
no, it is about it. So thank you so much, Ms. Moran, for sharing this information with us. We thank you so much. You know, thank God that you got better, and we hope that you stay healthy, you stay safe, and we wish you the very, very best. And we look forward to having you back again to tell us what's going on out there.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
This has been a presentation of Labor Radio, the voice of workers world today. This weekly program with various labor leaders and experts tackles today's topics and highlights the issues and concerns of workers, blue and white collar, discusses the labor way and how diversity without inclusion is inequality. For more information, visit www.laborradio.nyc. That's www.laborradio.nyc.